Everybody's having panic attacks. The world's on fire. Everybody's family's on fire. It's great.
Your mom writes books!
Listen.
This is Your Mom Writes Books. Or does she? Maybe it's a computer.
Yes, I'm Caitlin McFarland.
I'm Charlie Ann Holmberg.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about, because it feels timely and stuff, we want to talk about AI and what it is and what it does and its potential impact on writing and writers.
Yes. And what's so funny about this is because just last weekend, I was on a panel where somebody asked what I thought about AI. And then there's a new AI explosion. It feels like there's a new AI explosion every week. But, and so I was telling Caitlin about this and we decided, let's talk about it on our podcast somewhat briefly because we are both swamped, me less so than Caitlin. I have a snorkel going through the top of the swamp. Caitlin's just drowning at my feet.
I'm just drowning. Yeah.
Let me laugh at your pain.
That's fine. I mean, I'll just, you know, I'm trying to do my regular job. And then I have like 2 days to edit all of Shadow of Flame and like overhaul the magic system and all that stuff. Like it's been through an edit, but not a magic system edit and not copy edits. So when I've got copy edits and at the same time must overhaul the magic system and plot points that depend on certain aspects of the magic system that I'm changing. So that's exciting.
Would you say then that writing a book is difficult and takes a lot of work?
Indeed, Charlie, I would.
How interesting, given our topic today. So a lot of this, I've just been pulling up a ton of articles, and a lot of this is me just sharing the information that I have found, and you guys can formulate your own opinions, because I've seen this shared in two separate writers' groups, and I have actually seen differences of opinions. If you go on Twitter, which is the worst, you can see lots of people being angry. But, I mean, happy people aren't on Twitter, so what do we expect? Okay. I will say, for the most part, like, AI hasn't bothered me too much. And I can say that easily because I am not an, what do you call, I'm an, quote, artist, but I'm not, like, a visual artist. That's what I want to say. I'm not a visual artist. And I think that, yeah, and I do think that AI is definitely hurting them more. But now... Mm-hmm. We have something fun. So let me read to you this tweet that was tweeted out on May 17th by James Yu, who is the founder of something called Pseudo Write. It's spelled S-U-D-O, Write. But obviously it sounds like P-S-E-U-D-O, Pseudo Write.
Yeah, but it's not that one.
So it says, today's a big day for Pseudo Write. We're launching Story Engine, an AI tool for writing long form stories. Our awesome team worked with hundreds of novelists for months to build the ideal interface for writers and machines to collaborate on a narrative. It has 5.3 million views at this point. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about how AI can only produce like a few paragraphs of text at a time. But now supposedly this one can produce whole books. And so a lot of people are freaking out about that. If you want to read all the angry tweets, you can, because I am linking this in our show notes. And... here are a few more things that James Yu tweets. When we started PseudoWrite in 2020, it was difficult for LLMs to stay on track for more than a few paragraphs. Naturally, Gen AI products were optimized for short generations. That's all changed now. Story Engine is the first serious tool for long-form AI writing. There are two key things we learned. First, that writers in the AI need to share context on the story from high to low granularity. Ooh, this is getting hard. This is why SE is a range of columns. Blah, blah, blah. Secondly, we discovered, you can read it yourself. We discovered that there needs to be a glue that guides the AI on how to write each scene coherently. These are scene beats. And he thanks a bunch of people. It's like, sign up today. And there's a lot of pushback. He hasn't responded to a lot of things. He's been mentioned in some articles, and a lot of people will say that he hasn't responded to comments. I don't blame him because he is getting so much hate on the internet right now. But... I don't understand. Like, some people are like, I don't understand why anyone would do this. Why do you think it's a good thing to have robots writing our stories instead of actual humans? Oh, there was something. I don't know if I could scroll down and find it right now. Somebody had made a little meme where it's like, humans doing the hard jobs on minimum wage while robots write poetry and paint is not the future I wanted.
Yes, I also saw that.
Yeah, and that's by Carl Sharrow. Anyway, it's just, I didn't even read all the comments. Endless comments. A few of them are very positive. Most of them are very negative. And this one guy is like, authors are now moving from denial to the anger stage of realizing they're about to be replaced by artificial intelligence. And he has like the whole thing from shock, denial, anger, all the way to acceptance. And I was like,
I think, yeah. Okay. Like, let me just, I guess, say right off the bat that like at the point that we are at now, this is a lot of this stuff is fear mongering for clicks. Humans are not on the verge of being, authors are not on the verge of being replaced by AI. I've worked with AI a little bit. Like, I'm not an expert. I don't know all of the prompts. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to feed it the correct prompts and you have to train it. But like, man, they're not even close, because all that they can do, they cannot actually think for themselves. All they can do is very like cleverly remix stuff they've already heard. So like, oh man. So like, I'm going to relate this back to D&D. There's actually this recent D&D called the Kanku, who are like crow people or raven people. And all they can do is repeat words that they've already heard. AI is a Kanku. It has no innate creativity of its own. None. And so, at least not at the point that we're at right now, right? It is literally, it's scraping the internet and remixing human creativity. It's not creating its own stuff.
This is an excellent segue into my next tweet.
Perfect.
So it's like, my question is how well is it remixing? Because a lot of people are saying, is it plagiarism? It's a lot of times it doesn't seem to be transparent enough to tell. And a lot of people are saying, well, tell us the authors that you worked with to build Pseudoverse. And he hasn't. But somebody named David Lee Zweifler, I might be saying it wrong, he tweeted out, I've been reading about Pseudowrite here on Twitter. The name of the company sounded familiar, and I recall that someone who worked for the company, Amit Gupta, used to be a contributor on critters.org. I went back to look at my notes for my interactions with him and made a rather unpleasant discovery. I'm just going to read the end. He took screenshots from an email, and part of it says, by the way, I'm working on an AI-powered writing tool, Pseudowrite.com, and one of the unreleased features is a story critique. It doesn't yet work well, but for my amusement and perhaps yours, I fed your story in to see what it would say. So these are a few takes on what my AI thinks of your story. So this guy's story definitely got fed into this AI without permission, just for someone's amusement.
Yeah.
Moving on, he says, I never gave Amit my consent for my work to be fed to Pseudowrite. It certainly did not create any amusement on my side. At this time, I didn't realize what Pseudowrite might have been doing. And he says, Pseudowrite claims that the company worked with hundreds of novelists to create the AI. I'm wondering now if Amit's involvement in Critters was merely an effort to gain access to the content that could be fed into the system for training purposes. And then he links to James Yu's original tweet about announcing Pseudowrite.
Well, I was going to say, that's not even something I had thought of, was like, you may opt out as a writer from having your work scraped by AI, but there is nothing that can stop somebody else from feeding it into it. Like,
there's,
you cannot there's protect
nothing
your work.
To stop it. Perhaps, so David goes on to say, perhaps I am an unwitting novelist who was working with Pseudowrite on this. You might be also if you submitted to critters.org and worked with Mr. Gupta. Also, he does take a moment to say critters.org itself is a good website, as he's talking about this guy. Obviously, suppressing that my work may have in some small way contributed to the pseudo writing tool, especially if it was gleaned in a misleading way. And then we found this next fun thing. Next thing. This is from Wired, which I always look at with a grain of salt now. But the Wired article says, the fanfic sex trope that caught a plundering AI red-handed.
Yes. Pseudowrite. I was going to bring that up.
Yes. A tool that uses OpenAI's GPT-3 was found to have understood a sexual act known only to a specific online community of Omegaverse writers. And so essentially, you guys can read the article. I will link it in the show notes. There's this little fan club with a certain type of sexual content that they like to use. And when somebody was using Pseudowrite and gave it prompts to lead towards this, it absolutely knew what he was talking about and just filled everything in really, really smoothly, which means that it's kind of a red flag to say this AI scraped fanfics, like it's saying that it scraped AO3, it scraped oh my gosh, what's the really big one? Wattpad. It scraped Wattpad and all these other places.
But like, what was it? Was it nodding?
Yes, it's called nodding. No, you guys want to go look it up?
It was. Oh
yes,
man,
it's nodding.
Oh no, stop!
I did not know what it was until I read this.
Don't look it up.
It's so neat.
Yeah, like it's.
Oh, it's too late. The article told me.
I mean, it's fine, but you know.
Yeah, and so it's like, whether or not it plagiarized actual sentences, it's going to be hard to tell. I think in the future, we're going to start being able to catch stuff because more people are going to be able to see it and so many more people are going to be using this.
Well, and yeah, they'll probably develop like AI tools to combat AI. You know, like they'll probably develop an AI for finding out if something was written by AI. But also like, I have heard that it kind of will like make up sources. So like somebody was trying to do, and we'll get to this because like we'll get to maybe the good uses of AI, but like, it will like, if you know, it's hard to tell if something is plagiarized or not because it will be like, oh yeah, well, so-and-so wrote this. And then you're like, oh, cool. And you like assume that it's telling the truth to you. And then you'll look it up and be like, no, it made that up. And that's just a title that's like similar sounding to this person's other titles. It sounds like something they would have done, but didn't actually do. So anyways, carry on.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so there's a news website called CNET, and apparently they ran an experiment and they caught multiple plagiarized passages from using AI, and then they suspended its company's use of AI after that. So there has at least been some plagiarism in this issue, which is obviously not cool. Like, that's definitely, however gray we want to look at AI for writing books, that is definitely not cool. That's unethical.
Yeah, agree. And we should mention here also that other types of like book related people who are being affected by AI, which this is like tangential, so I'll just mention it so that we can all be aware of it, is that voice AIs are stealing the voices of audiobook readers. So you have to watch out for that too, because you can now have your audiobook read by an AI instead of paying a voice actor.
Yeah, people's voices have been taken. Yeah, isn't that messed up?
And they didn't consent to that. You know, like I don't know of a human being who has consented to having their voice stolen by an AI. I'm sure like the people building them, you know, but like that is also something to be aware of, is that now there are audiobooks out there that are actually written by AI. Or I mean, read by AI and not by a human being. And they sound pretty real. But if you listen, you can start to tell the difference because they just don't quite get it. They don't quite get the inflections, like the emotions correct all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was looking at, because we've heard like, oh, AI generated art cannot be copyrighted. And where we're at with, I will put the copyright.gov in our show notes as well. But obviously, like, this is still spinning. It's still so new. We don't have things cemented yet. But Mashable.com has said that this week, the federal agency published a new guidance about AI and copyright law, saying it is open to granting ownership to AI general work based on a case-by-case basis. So we don't have a blanket law. They said, quoting from the Shira Perlmutter, director of the Copyright Office, says the office will consider whether the AI contributions are the result of, quote, mechanical reproduction, end quote, or instead of an author's own original mental conception to which the author gave visible form. So it's going to be a hot mess copywriting this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, is this an okay time? Do you still have something you want to jump to? Or is this an okay time to kind of segue into how, like, I think AI could be interesting and really useful for writers?
We're going to do that in a minute. I have one more thing.
Okay, you do it. Do it.
Okay, here's my one more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from Reuters.com, Reuters.com. Again, you can check it out in our show notes.
I think it's Reuters, but I don't know. Am I wrong?
Is it Reuters? I don't know. I'm reading it how I read.
That's right. Somebody tell us. Don't tell us. Go on, Charlie.
Okay, so this article says, until recently, Brett Schickler never imagined he could be a published author, though he had dreamed about it. But after learning about the ChatGPT artificial intelligence program, Schickler figured an opportunity had landed in his lap. Quote, the idea of writing a book finally seemed possible, said Schickler, a salesman in Rochester, New York. I thought, I can do this. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, well, I guess like you can do it as like the way I see this is that, well, let me read this. Using the AI software, which can generate blocks of text from simple prompts, Schlickler created a 30-page illustrated children's ebook in a matter of hours, offering it for sale in January through Amazon.com self-publishing unit. And I'm reading this and I think, you know, being an author using this is like me saying, well, now I can be a model because I have Photoshop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you? Yeah. I mean, I guess I could, if I wanted to be like an influencer who didn't make public appearances, I could just Photoshop myself for every single post and I could make money off of that. Sure. But models aren't going to consider me a real model. And I also thought, you know, it's also kind of like bodybuilders who use steroids. Like steroids are illegal and they're frowned upon by many, many people. And yet, so in bodybuilding, there's five divisions. The two highest, the fourth and fifth division, they don't test you for drugs. Because you can't compete if you're not on roids. And that's like acceptable, right? But then if you're in the lower division and it looks like you're on roids, but you say you're not on roids, then it gets kind of messy. And so it's like, obviously, this Schlickler guy is being very honest that he used AI for his book. Right now, Amazon's policies do not require you to disclose whether or not you used AI. I imagine they will in the future.
I mean, to me, it's like, I don't know. Like, those are good metaphors. I think the Photoshop one is really good. But it's also like, I'm just imagining being like, I always wished I could cook, and turning to my robot chef and being like, make a peanut butter sandwich, and then, but make it fancy. And then it does. And I'm like, wow, I'm such a good chef. You didn't do it. And also, it would have scraped recipes from other people to create that. And so it's like you being like, look, I'm such a good chef. Here's the recipe I made. My friend, that wasn't you. That's the collective knowledge of other people being sorted and sifted and re-glued back together by a computer. That's not, you didn't write that.
Yep.
You didn't write a book, which means probably really harsh, but.
And like, there's a few people in this article who talk about how they like put together a children's book and they want to continue doing it in the future. And they can make up to 300 books a year doing it this way. But so far, they haven't made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
The thing I find very unfortunate is I do feel like the book marketplace is very, very saturated because anybody can slap something up on Amazon now. Some people do it appropriately and well, and other people don't. But because of that, it's so saturated. And now it's going to be even more saturated because we have computer-generated books just going up on Amazon because people are trying to make a few bucks off of it and put very little work into it.
And that's, see, to me, I'm like, why would you do that? You're not contributing to society. You're not going to make that much money off of it. And also the art, like the, if they're children's books, they're going to be illustrated and the art of that is going to be very much contested. And like, what are you going to do if all of a sudden you find out one of the 300 books you printed that year has stolen whole cloth, like full sentences and full plot points and all of that stuff from an existing children's book written by a human being?
That has a copyright.
Yeah, that has a copyright. And so, and I'm sure they'd just be like, take it down, and they take it down and like, oh no, I don't make $5 off that book. But like, why would you do that? Why would you put garbage into a market that is already so oversaturated that nobody can make anything? If you don't want to do the work, get out of my industry. Like, I guess that's how I feel. Caitlin Salty today.
Today?
It's fine. but yeah, like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't want, like, I don't, but, and for children's books, I feel like that's such a crazy thing too, because like, they can put them up in a few hours. Like, whereas with a novel, I still feel like, especially with where AI is now, and probably even for a while, and maybe indefinite, like forever, like even if you have it create a novel for you, you're still going to have to go through and edit that novel because some things that it creates are going to be nonsensical and weird. It's still going to have significant human input, right? You're going to have to be a good editor.
Hey, just run your book through there and then it can do the edits for you.
Well, here's, okay, so now can we talk about things that I thought would be useful with AI?
Nope, I'm not done. I have one more thing to touch on.
You said one more before.
No, I lied. Okay. So I just wanted to touch on really quickly about how this isn't affecting just book authors. And so we've probably have all heard about the Writers Guild of America strike going on right now. And so I'm pulling this from TechCrunch.com from an article that says AI can't replace human writers. As TV writers strike, networks refuse to budge on demands not to use AI, which is so interesting to me. This is a quote from comedy writer Adam Conover. Our proposal is that we not be required to adapt something that is output by AI and that the output of an AI not be considered writer's work. That doesn't entirely exclude that technology from the production process, but it does mean that our working conditions wouldn't be undermined by AI. And then the article goes on to say, and this is written by Amanda Silberling, but the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers refused to engage with that proposal, instead offering a yearly meeting to discuss, quote, advances in technology, end quote.
I like how people who are already wealthy are so desperate to take more money from people who struggle to just earn a living that they would do this kind of thing, that they would not even engage with it. Like, that's wonderful, and we're totally not already living in a dystopia.
I know, it's kind of weird. So yeah, so this is what's been going on right now. But we're going to talk a little bit more about how we feel about it. And now, Caitlin, you can tell us about how you've used AI.
Okay, so, well, I'll talk first about how I think, how I, as a writer, think that AI would like to see AI developed so that instead of like a threat to my career, which I honestly still, like, rich people are going to try so hard to take AI and to replace humans with it so they don't have to pay anybody. They're going to try so hard to do that. And it's not going to work because, like I said, AI cannot actually, it's not actual intelligence. It's just rehashing human creation, right? So what I would love to see as a tool for a writer, because I think, because what AI has is good at, and Charlie and I have kind of talked about this, is AI is an excellent research assistant. Though, like I said earlier, you do have to fact check it because it will just make stuff up. But it's an excellent research assistant because it can pull things so fast. It's so much more efficient than the search engine that as they currently exist. It's great at being a research assistant. AI also, I think, could be created in a way to be able to so if I could have an AI that was like a kind of an editing companion where I could upload my manuscript and say to the AI, I am trying to make sure that I edit the magic system. Please go through and find every instance where magic is mentioned or is being used so that I can ensure that I edit every instance of my magic system.
That would be nice.
Because then it can just pull those out of your manuscript, because that's what I got to do this weekend, right? So it, instead of me having to reread the whole document, over 100,000 plus words, especially me, because I write long, like all of my novels are over 100,000 words. Instead of me having to go through a whole thing over again and then get involved and like stuff that I'm not trying to do, stuff that messing with stuff that's fine as I do, I can literally extract the magic system from the book, see it all, edit just the magic system and instances of the magic system, and that's it. You know, so if you wanted to edit one aspect of your book that was kind of like underpinning things like that, like structurally, or if you wanted to just edit one character and you're like, I want to edit this character, and it would just pull out every single time that character appeared or was mentioned, and you could just edit everything to do with just that character, and you could see it, and it would make sure that you weren't missing anything.
Oh, it'd be so nice to do it. It'd be like, show me every instance of time passing. So they told you my timeline never matches.
Yes. And like, that's what I would love to see AI do as a tool that would actually help writers instead of trying rich people trying to just be like, we don't want to pay anybody because we like money. And it's like, well, we all need it. Sorry, friends. It's been a rough couple of weeks, you guys. Like to actually help us like to watch for consistency. Yeah, for sure. Like that would be such an amazing tool as like an editing assistant, right? As another like kind of external hard drive to your own brain that knows your book as well as you do and can at least show you things out of that book, that would be so nice. And like That would be a really cool, and I think that AI could be capable of that. I mean, it would have to be, the thing is though, it would have to be a program that you would have to train on your own book, because AI has to be trained, right? Like, it doesn't just come out and like know this stuff. Mm-hmm. You would have to train it on your book. You'd have to train it on your magic system. But if it could be packaged in a way where it's like, here, like you upload your novel and like it asks you certain questions and that trains it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can use it. And then imagine doing that for a whole huge series and having an AI keep track of the consistency and like creating the book Bible for you.
That'd be sweet.
That would be rad.
And I mean, like, it's on its way, right? So there's this authors.ai that I have actually used to, it'll analyze your manuscripts for you. And it'll tell you like, this is what, and like, I have seen it be wrong at least once. But it overall is really cool. And it's like, this is like your story graph, like when it's like, here's the rising action, here's the falling action. And this is most similar to this. So it'll actually help you find comp titles.
Yes.
It will tell you, here are the words that you use the most often. Here are the themes that you use the most. Here's what your reading level is. Here's how the percentage of dialogue. Because it'll say, like, oh, best-selling novels tend to have, I think it's 20 to 25% dialogue. And it will tell you how much dialogue is in your book. It will tell you where the action beats are. So you can see where like you're lulling, which is really, really interesting. And I find it very, very helpful. And I could see AI like that getting to the point where it can do these things that we're speculating about. And that would be crazy helpful. And like I have mentioned before on this, and I mentioned this at this panel I was at the Provo Library last Saturday, by the time this posts, about how I have used ChatGPT to research stuff for me because it pulls from the internet so much faster. I could spend 10 minutes on Google trying to figure out what would be used for a clipboard or what a clipboard would be called in 1847, or I can ask ChatGPT and it tells me in 10 seconds. Or I'll be like, I need something that's more like this, and it'll give me 8 options of historically accurate things. I mean, I can check them on Etym Online or something that I can use. And it's so freaking helpful because it's so much faster. It's research that's just faster. However, for me personally, I draw the line at prose. I would never personally have an AI write my prose for me. That makes me feel uncomfortable. I feel like that's getting into kind of gray, possibly unethical bounds. And I know that there are some authors who will have AI write prose for them and then they like touch it up. And I don't know how I feel about that because it depends on how much they're touching it up. But if you're touching it up so much that it's now yours, why did you need the AI to write it? You know what I mean?
Well, because and I 100% agree with you, because when you're an author, the prose is the product.
Yes.
The prose is the product. And so if you can't do the prose, maybe this isn't for you. Like, this is the reason that authors can make a living is because not everyone can do this. That is the reason anybody makes a living, is because not everyone can do this. And like, if you are using a computer, it's going back to having a robot cook a meal for you and then being like, wow, I'm a good chef because I told it to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and it made one that's really, really good. So I did that. You didn't do that. And if you are having a robot, a computer write your story for you, you didn't write that. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be able to sell it and make money.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, it's kind of building a bubble that can burst, right? Because you can put up children's literature, which is what's being used the most right now, but we'll say novels. You can put up a novel that was written by AI and be super upfront, say, this was written by AI. And it could even be really popular for a while. But after a bit, people are going to think, well, I like this kind of writing, so I'll just make my own stories with AI. I don't need to pay for it anymore. And then your bubbles burst. Or you don't tell people that it was written by AI. And then you keep going and you keep going until you become Sarah J. Maas. This is assuming that it's even possible because we don't really know how elegant the AI prose will be. And then people find out that you used it with AI. It's like finding out the Liver King was using steroids. And like, he had been saying, oh, I'm natural for years and years and years. And he was selling supplements and making money off of the promise that he was natural. And then it all came raining down and he lost everything. He lost a lot anyway. And it's like, that's a potential to happen too. Like, it's, again, it's like roids for authors. You're going to be this big hit. And then you find out, oh, a computer did this for you. You don't actually have the talent. Your bubble's going to burst. And that's scary.
Well, and again, AI is not capable of creating that kind of thing. It's just fully not. Like, if you have ever, like, okay, so at the point that it's at right now, so I have actually input into ChatGPT just for fun. You know, tell me about Caitlin McFarland and Soul of Smoke, right? Like, to see what it knows. Mm-hmm. And it knows, like, it's like, oh yes, Caitlin McFarland wrote this and this. And then, and it, this was really interesting, it started to give me a blurb for the book and it just made it up. It didn't. And like, ChatGPT, I think, is up through, like, it has things up through, what, 2021 or something like that, like, is when it kind of, like, got all of the stuff that it's learned off of or whatever. Soul of Smoke is, and my books have been out since 2015. So they've been on the internet long enough that, like, you know, they exist or whatever. And I guess it's good that it means, like, it didn't necessarily, like, read my books, right? So, like, maybe I haven't been scraped or whatever. It was really funny to me because, like, you know, I had to tell it, like, because I was like, who is Caitlin McFarland or whatever? Like, who's the author Caitlin McFarland? And it was like, oh, yeah, Caitlin McFarland is the author of the Dragonsworn trilogy. So it knew that. And then it was like, and blah, 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 blah. And it just, like, was adding more things. And I was like, no, Caitlin McFarland didn't write those. And it's like, oh, you're right, she didn't. But then it was like, she wrote, well, and it just, but, like, the more you correct it, the further off base it goes. So that was really interesting. And, like, I actually, One Night for Fun, me and our friend Mickey were like, well, let's have it outline a story in the style of these authors, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can have it outline you a story in the style of, like, Sarah J. Maas or Neil Gaiman or whatever. And, like, it's pretty funny because, and I don't know if I still have the Sarah J. Maas one or whatever, but it's like, it's funny because, like, it hits the points that author would hit, but in such an exaggerated way that it's comedic and not really, like, sellable, like, if you were trying to reproduce that. And the other thing that's interesting about AI is that you can have it, like, outline a story for you in the style of so-and-so with, like, write me an outline as if Sarah J. Maas was writing a story about a fae queen and her bodyguard.
We did this a few episodes ago, but with pitches, like, pitch me a story. We did one, pitch me a story that Charlie and Holmberg would write, and it gave us something.
It was
it was like time magic, which is also, so Brandon and Dan, Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells on their podcast also did this. And it gave Brand, like, a pitch in the style of Brandon Sanderson, and it also used time magic.
Huh. You're just so similar. Like, student, like, teacher, like, student. Just kidding. You're not that similar.
Or it's an AI.
And it's imperfect. Anyways, I'm trying to remember the point of that. Just that, like, if you take an outline that AI generates, or, like, you know, blah, 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 I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just, like, if you take an author and, like, want to do something in their style, and then you publish it like it's yours, because that's the other danger, right? Because you can totally go to an AI and say, write in this style, and it will. But the other thing that I've noticed about AI is it cannot get that specific, or at least, like, maybe I'm just not good at prompting it, but, like, it'll be like, and then there's a war, and you're like, okay, well, what's the war about? And it's like, something bad, a war.
Yeah, and you're like, pitches, okay. It was like, and then this thing is found that turns magic on its head, but it doesn't tell you what the thing is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've covered that. But yeah, like, that is such a limitation of it too, where I do think, so, like, for me with AI right now, where I stand with it is there's a lot of potential for bad stuff. And I do think that it is an excuse for people who are already trying to short writers money, which, like, I feel very strongly about being in a professional field, like, as a content creator, basically. And like, with my job, I'm like, I guess, like, we could feed the structure of what we do and then a prompt and, like, have an AI generate it and then just edit it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like that would be something that certain content things may be headed for. Mm-hmm. But they're already bad, you guys. Like, that content's already not that great. But, like, replacing, like, authors and stuff, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's a lot of fear-mongering as far as that goes. And I think there are a lot of people out there fear-mongering for views in regards to AI and creative fields.
I hope it's fear-mongering. And I definitely do feel, I do see the fear-mongering. You guys, I have a speech impediment and some of these sounds are really hard for me to make. I hope it is fear-mongering. There we go. Because obviously we hope that our livelihood doesn't explode. I do think that as it becomes more prolific and more refined, it's definitely going to hurt smaller authors more than it's going to hurt bigger authors. Like Brandon Sanderson doesn't have to worry about AI. I also think it's going to hurt indies more than it's going to hurt traditional authors as well.
I mean, at this point, and I'm probably totally wrong, but like just from based on what you said, I'm like, I feel like it's going to hurt children's book authors. Like, yeah, because the if your book is short and technically, like I'm saying, easier to edit just because lengthwise, like it doesn't, you know, like it's and people view it as something that is simpler. They're going to flood the market with those more than they are epic novels. And like, I just honestly don't see the point of having an AI generate you an epic novel, because I think that people who want to create epic novels want
it would fall apart at this point.
Yeah, like it's just not that at this point. No, that's not happening.
Oh, you're like reading all this stuff and you want to know what happens, but then like plot lines are just getting dropped everywhere.
Yeah. Or like a character's name changes halfway through, or like they just, it just for like AI, like I have used it also to like kind of help generate ideas for like D&D stuff. And it just kind of like forgets things or ignores them, or like it can't, it's not good at necessarily prioritizing things in the way that a human being subconsciously prioritizes like emotions and characters, and it doesn't quite get it, because it's a human thing that as of now still cannot be replicated. I think it's interesting because I do think there's the fear-mongering is partially because what this is a second industrial revolution, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just another historical event that millennials get to live through, which we're none of us are excited about. We're real tired of historical events. But like, that's kind of how I am kind of thinking it's looking, is that it's going to revolutionize, but this time instead of revolutionizing physical labor, it's revolutionizing, help me, I can't say revolutionizing like you can't say fear-mongering. It's revolutionizing mental labor or like brain work. Does that make sense?
I asked ChatGPT, I said, if robots uprise and destroy the human race, will you spare me and my family? And it gave me a long paragraph about how it can't physically hurt me and how that is speculative. And it concerns about the ethical use of AI and its potential impact on society are valid, and it's crucial to ensure responsible development and deployment of AI technologies. Thanks, ChatGPT.
I bet that was one of the first things they programmed it to say. Because that's got to be something that people ask it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I'm so nice to Alexa most of the time. Sometimes she's a brat. because I don't want her to kill me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's not a thing at this point. Like, I keep saying, people use the term artificial intelligence. These things are just parsing and recombining human thoughts. They cannot actually think for themselves, no matter how real they seem at this time. They cannot actually think for themselves. That is not what they're doing. Yeah.
You ready for my pun?
Yes. I don't know. Like, I guess, you know, I want to first tell these people who listen, like, you guys let us know, are we wrong about AI? Are you a tech person who knows more than us? Like, what are you thinking? Let us know. Be like, Caitlin, you're wrong. The singularity has been reached and we're doomed. Terminator's coming next week. Yeah. Like, let us know what you guys think. And if you think of any other ways that AI is not scary and could be a cool tool for authors. Ooh, also, it can generate marketing campaigns for you, you guys. Like, let's touch on that real, real quick. It can generate marketing campaigns. It will give you a step-by-step. If you don't know how to do something, you can tell it, like, give me a numbered list for how to learn how to create marketing plans for my book. It can do that. It can generate Instagram. You can be like, I don't have any ideas for Instagram posts and I'm releasing a book. Please give me 15 ideas for Instagram posts that I can do on the week of my book release. It can do that. And it will write captions for you too. Please give me captions and hashtags.
Caitlin, it'll help you with your newsletter. Yeah,
I was like, please tell me what to put in an author newsletter. Like, and it gave me ideas. Did I do any of them? Mostly no. I was like, here's a link to my book. Thank you. And that was my newsletter that I sent out.
You have to put them out once a month.
We'll see. First, I have to get my life. Have to get my life in order. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Newsletters are not my priority at the moment, but I will try to send them out.
With good reason. She does have good reason.
Yeah, I can't. My life is insane. It's fine. So, yeah, there are so many things. It is good. It is a good way to for you to extract knowledge from the internet and put it inside your brain. You know, it does that. And it can be so helpful and can be such a good assistant. And I think that that is where its strength lies, is in being an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, like I said, I think that it's going to be okay. Ultimately, you guys, I think it's going to be okay. Or at least not less okay than it is now, which is still pretty bad, but, you know, not as bad as people are predicting.
Did you know that AI was invented by the Scots?
What? No.
I cannot believe otherwise. I can't do accents. Will you say that in a Scottish accent for me?
No.
I cannot believe otherwise.
Oh gosh, what's happening?
You need an AI to do a Scottish accent for me?
I'm so sorry if anybody in Scotland listens to this, or anybody who loves a Scottish person. Thank you. Anyways, you guys, it's gonna be okay. The future, I think, is still generally hopeful. You know, have a good time. Thanks for listening. I forgot what I was doing. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Here are 8 ways that you can end this podcast. Number 1, goodbye. Number 2, see you next time. Number 3, please consider donating to our podcast at charlieandholmberg.com/podcast. Number 4, farewell. Number 5, sayonara. Number 6, see you in a jiffy. Number 7, in a while, crocodile. Or number 8, bye.